And I would say peek through the fear of losing it all, because you will, but in the best ways. You'll lose the hyper independence, you'll lose the struggle, you'll lose the being victim to your own success.
Welcome to Wealth Embodied. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our innate abundance and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to embody the vibration of wealth while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our relationship with money so we can live our lives wealthy and aligned. Let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Wealth Embodied, where we activate and inspire you in your wealth consciousness, your creative genius, and your visionary impact. I'm your host, Alara Sage, and I'm really excited about today because I decided the other day, I'd kind of spoke on here about kept having cancellations with guests. There was something trying to shift with my podcast. And it came through the other day of really bringing very different approaches to these deep conversations and holding this space in communion with guests. So I've created three options for guests to choose from. And our wonderful guest, Leslie Kay, today has chosen the Pleasure Channel. So we are going to explore what lights her up. And my hope here, my intention here is that you guys can feel these energies and that it stirs something within you and invites you into this deeper inquiry of what is lighting you up in your life. So our wonderful guest is the mentor for women who refuse to settle for half-lived dreams. She empowers high-performing women to scale their businesses with ease, blending strategy with soul and alignment. Leslie, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
All right. So let's begin, my love, with from the deep presence of your body and of your womb and of your heart, what is really lighting you up right now in your life? Where is your pleasure?
In the exploration of self in relationship. So I'm in a relatively new relationship, and I mean, it feels like lifetimes, but yeah, just the full... I don't know. I do know. The full exploration of finding love where love hasn't gone before.
Oh my God. That just shot energy through my body. Wow. Yes. I mean, when you first said that, immediately your womb lit up and there was like this warmth and this welcoming. And it felt to me like you're really, really ready to receive him, receive, or I don't know if it's a him. That's my presumption.
It is.
Okay. receive him and receive love and intimacy and connection really in a new way. And then when you said that out loud, wow, your heart just lit up and your throat really lit up. What did you feel when you spoke that out loud?
I actually feel like I want to cry right now, but just in the depth of love that is possible. And I want to say the feeling I felt was like safety and desire. It was just the depth of love that we have access to and the depth of love of self that we have access to when we allow someone else to like love us in our ugly, like, and my whole journey before this relationship was finding all the parts of myself that I thought weren't lovable, the ugly parts, the rejected parts, and love them. And then to let someone else pour love into those places is one of the most liberating, scary, awe-filled experiences I've ever been in.
Yes, when you were sharing that, I was feeling the energy of vulnerability, like your availability to vulnerability, your openness, I can feel it now. It's just this radical truth within yourself, Leslie, that you like. This part of you is saying, there's no part of me that I won't just grab a hold of and squeeze and love her. And feeling just that raw truth. I felt like you just let me feel her, you know? And then as you were speaking about opening to him, you know, and letting him love those parts, it was like being a child again. And there was this joy and just this like almost like serendipity, like your giggle that you're doing right now. It feels just like that, just like this little giggle of like hee-hee, hee-hee. And then like so expansive, like as you were kind of ending that and you were like saying, it's just so, I mean, like my energy and your, it was just opening up and expanding and like bringing him in, letting him see you and just like really receiving him as he receives you and how that just expands you into this joy.
It's I think vulnerability is the like you nailed the sensation, but I don't know. I want to say dying to love is one of the most honorable things. The death of the ways in which we protect, the death of the version of us we thought we were until we allowed love to touch places that it hadn't touched before. The death of all the ways in which we protect or project or don't trust love and don't trust life. And it's kind of been the most beautiful homecoming rebirth. I'm not even sure. It's just, yeah, it's everything and then some. And very, I want to say very human too. It's very grounded in trials and tribulations and the humanness of me, the humanness of him. But there's just literally something so, I don't know, God sent about. About love that is true. That's all the words I have. I always have a lot of words, but yeah, it doesn't really need words. It's for me, it's just the feeling of coming home.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we did set the intention to feel, and I feel like that's what we're doing. We're feeling. And sometimes when you feel so much, there's no words because the feelings are just beyond words. And that's exactly where we are. And I feel called to ask, so as you're exploring this love, what has come up? You said like the humanness of it, the trials and tribulations.
I've never actually allowed anyone to love me. Love to me was scary. My mum was my abuser, so my imprint of safety wasn't ever safe, or my imprint of love was never safe. So yeah, I get to be with the parts of me that want to push love away, that want to have felt safer on their own or felt safer in control. And I think you said this or a version of this before, this like the vulnerability, the what it's taken to almost what's the right phrase? Invite myself to open in the face of love and in the face of being seen and in the face of being held and loved. Like so many times, I've actually had a somatic fear response to the depth of love that I feel and the depth of love that I allow in. And I knew, I mean, our love story is insane, definitely orchestrated by God, but in the first couple of weeks we were making love And I'd sort of touched on a part of my history, but not really. And I knew that this man was the one when I had a response to pleasure, a somatic response where I dropped into fear. No pre-warning. It's not like you can coach someone to be like, hey, I might have a trauma response. So where he's actually running a rose over my body and I can start to feel this fear, and I can feel it now because I've done a lot of work. So I have the capacity to titrate between the experience and sort of being in this reality, but it can take me into, the darkness of whatever that memory is. Yeah. And yeah, I've dropped into a full sobbing, like hyperventilating crying. And the man just scoops me up, puts me on his lap, holds me to his chest and whispers in my ear, I'm here, I love you, I've got you. I'm here, I love you, I've got you. You're safe, you're safe, until the moment passed and then we could speak about it. And yeah, in that moment I was like, oh, both I'm home and fuck, there's going to be nowhere to hide from this man.
Yes. And I love what you just expressed, because our aliveness, you know, what turns us on, beautifully guides us into these experiences that will reveal ourselves. So you've met this man and there's clearly so much just beautiful, I don't even want to say chemistry, the chemistry definitely, but it's so much more than chemistry, but I can feel the magnetism on the multidimensional level between the two of you. So it's definitely this drawing in and therefore, right, the simultaneity of like bringing through what really just can't survive in such a high vibrational communion. And what a glorious exploration of being lit and being alive and feeling drawn into this person. And then, here comes fear, right? Here comes trauma. Here comes something that really wants to be held and seen. And your level of mastery, because you clearly have a very high level of mastery when we are engaged sexually, when we're engaged intimately, when there's another person, where our bodies are exposed, right? There's a vulnerability of our skin. There's a vulnerability of our bodies. There's a vulnerability of just the depths of sexual intimacy and being able to hold all of that. And simultaneously, now the fear is arising and being present with that. And then his ability to hold you through that process. It's such a beautiful, it gives a voice to when we do this work and we are willing to continue to step forward, how our aliveness, our pleasure, what lights us up leads us to more, right? Leads us to more.
I want to say yes, and we can assume there's no pleasure if there's pain, and often pain is the pathway to pleasure.
Absolutely.
I think, and this was true in, I guess, the previous version of me, it's the avoidance of anything that felt uncomfortable, which is kind of the whole point of love, is being uncomfortable in the places that you're not letting love in. So, yeah, as you said that, I was like, yes, and there was a version of me that wouldn't follow pleasure, that would avoid any form of discomfort, or I wouldn't want to look behind the curtain of the places that I didn't feel lovable, rather than in this relationship where it's very constantly standing naked in the face of truth and love and inviting it. Not even, I mean, it's interesting. I sort of stopped doing the work a couple of months before Lucky, as his name, came into my life. And I've never been in so much work in my life, but in a more, we're not digging for it. It just naturally comes. It's just an experience where trauma comes up, or a pattern of shutdown or disconnect. Yeah. And that sort of forms part of the very human experience of expressions of love from past relationships, expressions of love that may not have been healthy, and the ways in which it's so funny, we can't hide from each other. We both love it and hate it. It's just the slightest change in the like undercurrent of my mood. And to me, I'm like, I haven't changed anything. I'm like cool as a cucumber on the surface. And he'll call me out. He'd be like, "You're mad." And I'm like, "The fuck? No, I mean, I am, but how did you tell?" Yeah. And similar. He'll come home from a long day of work or a long week of work, and he'll have this everything's okay bravado. And I'm like, I can't feel you. And if I can't feel you, I know you're hiding from me. It's like for him with me, he can feel the slightest shift in mood, but I can feel his disconnect. I can feel where he's trying to hide and where he's been used to hiding, because there hasn't been availability for softness, availability for you get to lay your sword here too. You get to have a soft landing here too. You get to make a home in my heart too. It's not, I don't subscribe to the notion that men don't need to feel emotion and men don't need safety in a relationship to express all that they're feeling and all that they're moving through. So yeah, that's probably where the humanness creeps in some more, is our very real patterns from the way we've been loved previously. And sort of somatically, I would say, is the, it's like consciously and cognitively we understand that we're in different relationships, but it's interesting to feel the somatic memory of shutdown or avoidance or fear.
Yeah. And I agree with you about pleasure and pain. To me, they're the same, just like love and hate is absolutely the same. And it's all just how we are receiving and perceiving the energy. And quite beautifully, we can transform pain into pleasure, vice versa. I want to ask, as you've been in this new, like you've obviously been very much connected to your vulnerability, like I mentioned, and this is a new level of vulnerability because of, like you said, there's just no hiding here. How has that affected your business, your wealth, your work with your clients? Where has that come out of the relationship into other parts of your life?
It's interesting because one of the first things I said, and you know, this man loves my ambition and my boss babe as much as he loves my soft and surrendered, but there was a moment where I realized that I would give it all for love. And not that I had to. Actually, there was a little fantasy. There was a fantasy that this man would come and I would never have to work again. Versus, I'm going to continue to call you into your highest and I'm going to continue to ask of you to serve in a way that's true. Yeah, my desire for more intimacy with the, like, the women that I'm serving is probably the level of truth that I'm seeking, as in I won't just take anyone's money, because if it doesn't feel good to me, if there's not pleasure, and yes, platonic pleasure is a thing, but if there's not pleasure in the connection and I feel contraction when I'm going to get on a coaching call with someone, then I don't want it. So actually, there was a period of contraction because I was losing clients that weren't aligned, because I actually got a lot clearer with the type of woman that I want to be in service to and sort of be in this co-creation with. And then the expansion, because of, I want to say, more of an invitation to be more of me. in that I thought I was receiving, but I probably wasn't. In that I thought I was available for intimacy outside of the connection with me and him, and I probably wasn't. And it's really sort of made me look at, you know, I did 4 years of studying Tantra and polarity and sort of really focusing on being ready for him, and where have I not brought the same level of curiosity and devotion to curating those relationships with women. So it again, pretty like our relationship, it's kind of removed any illusions or any untruths inside of how I was showing up or why I was serving or who I was serving. And I'm, you know, like just this week, for example, I literally just took the week off with no notice. I have a team that run my business. I'm not by any means, I don't condone hustle culture. I generally only work 20 to 30 hours a week, but it's just this additional level of, no, I get to receive a little more and rest a little more and probably rest back more. And it also highlights all the places I don't trust, because if I'm ever not in trust with him, and in subtle ways, because my overall posturing is geared more towards he leads, I surrender. But it highlights the micro ways in which perhaps I grip or don't fully trust or haven't fully surrendered to God's plan. So it's probably more in the subtle energies, in the subtle body of my work, that there's been a shift in, oh, I get to receive here and I get to be the full expression of me. And also that I'm not alone in it anymore. I think sometimes the biggest shift has been, well, if I am going to be boss babe for a week, I actually get to rest in the arms of a man that can hold all of me and invites me back into my softness and into my opening.
When you mentioned your clients, I could feel this precision happening. And just as you said, people falling away, because now all of a sudden what you're connected to is this just raw truth, and that's where you want to play, and that's where you want to play with other women. And I can really feel that desire in your womb to engage deeper with your clients through that process. And so, yeah, the women who weren't ready for that or aren't available to that, you know, needed to fall away. To me, what I see is a real open door. And what's coming through with that symbol is you're creating an open door for these women to enter into this vulnerability that we brought, this, that we were pointing to today, this, let's come into this space together where we can be in openness and nakedness, right? And it feels, again, very warm and welcoming in your womb towards these women of like, I'm here for you. I love you. I will receive you. Right? I will receive you in your nakedness. And it's almost like in those moments you're not, because you're also in your feminine, and we're never separate, right? We're in our masculine only, or we're just in our feminine, but you are playing this like masculine, like holding the container for them to come in and be the woman that they've never been able to be, right? To be naked and to be seen. And it's so interesting that he said to you, I love you, I'm here. Cause I literally bring that through all the time to my clients and everything. So like you're saying, I love you and I'm here. And you know, I don't need you to be naked, but the door is open. And if that is what feels good to you, it is available to you. And the depth of that, the profound transformation that can occur, because even though, as I was kind of saying, there's a level of holding a masculine there, you're still very much in your feminine. And when women are holding each other and witnessing each other, the profundity of that level of undoing, right, to be really safe with another woman and to enter that container with her, it's like instant. It just dissolves. It's like there's not even a necessarily any try there, because the container is what undoes, right? Is what it even like reforms and re-collaborates and reorganizes. And so what I see for you, whether you're experiencing this already or not, is a radical shift in how your clients are experiencing you, how they're experiencing themselves, and how they experience the results because of the level of container that you are now saying that you are only available to.
Yeah, I feel almost like an integration is how I want to describe it. It's like I imagine these women that are almost like battle tired. They're sick of fighting themselves. They're sick of fighting the world. They're sick of fighting to create the businesses that they're in and feeling like they've created this prison. It's like prison of achievement. And then the capacity to lay down their sword, you know, the version of me that had the multi-million dollar business and wore the armor and didn't let anyone in and didn't allow herself to soften because I was afraid that if I did put down my sword and my armor that I wouldn't ever pick it back up again and I wouldn't be able to create a living or create a life or survive, basically, was the undercurrent of that driver. I thought that if I softened, if I allowed myself to feel, if I allowed myself to cry, if I allowed myself to be supported, that somehow that would make me vulnerable to a place where like they wouldn't be coming back from that and that I would lose everything. The funny thing is I did lose everything, but
there is no coming back.
But I don't know. I too many women live half lives and accept half love based on the fact that they have nowhere to rest. They don't know who to trust or what to do or where to turn or how to have both or how to walk in both worlds to be able to keep the ambition and the drive and to not let it destroy you, to not let it take your life from you, to not let it I want to say dry you out, but not every woman's going to understand that phrase, just to not let it suck the life from you like it has felt like. And I think the integration of this container and the way that I work, and you know, I say I sit in the intersection of psychology and strategy, because I could give you all the strategy in the world. I know how to scale businesses. I've done it 4 times. But if you don't understand the driving force behind that, it's either not going to be sustainable or it's not going to feel good. And to the point of this conversation, if it doesn't feel good, what's the point? Mm-hmm. You can have the most perfectly curated life, the social media worthy Range Rovers and white picket fences and 2 kids that look great on social media, but they're raised by nannies and daycare and you haven't had sex with your husband for a year and you're either underweight because you control too much or overweight because you consume calories to stuff down your emotions. But hey, I've got a $1 million business and all of this cool stuff, so what does it matter? And I think there is like an epidemic of women that have forgotten the notion of what does life feel like when it feels good? What does business feel like when it feels nourishing? What does walking through the world feeling well supported? You know, I took a week off because I have a team. I was like, guys, I'm out. Message me if you need me, but please don't. And I did like two calls in the space of a week. And I run two businesses. Not many women could say that they can do that because we're so, for me, my experience was I didn't trust anyone. I couldn't trust anyone. If I trusted someone else to hold me or to hold my business or, I don't know, to care about me, I guess, that there was danger there. Or the story was showing that I couldn't trust anyone, so why would I build that again? And we don't have to work like that or live like that or exist like that. And that's the, I don't know, the remembrance, I guess, or the invitation of you can have both. You can have the million-dollar business and the deeply fulfilling relationship and drop your kids to school and pick them up every day and take 4 days off just because you can and not be on your emails or thinking the world's going to fall apart without you because you've curated the need to constantly be needed to feed some part of you that never received love as a child.
Yeah. Profound gift for women. And as an oracle, I see wealth transitioning, really moving into the space of the embodiment of these places where we are cultivating from our aliveness, we're cultivating from embodiment, we're cultivating from connection, safety, love. And from my perspective, that's really where we access inexhaustible wealth because it is, it's our innate being, you know, it's our natural state is that wealth always is there. It's always accessible. It's our letting go, right? Like you said, it's that feeling safe to let go that allows us to truly access that. And yeah, you won't come back, you know, you won't come back to your old ways, but you wouldn't want to either. Like there's no part of you that says, gee, I wish I hadn't, because I really want to go back. So there we have it. So my love, the women who are hearing you and feel you and want to reach out to you and connect to you and enter into these spaces with you, how can they find you?
Instagram is the best way. It's the most consistent. So just at Leslie K, but check how to spell my name because I like to be different. But yeah, hit me up on Instagram, send me a voice note. My Facebook does have VAs in there. So Instagram's definitely the best way and you'll get direct access to me. Send me a voice note, I'll voice note you back. And just really lean into the curiosity is probably what I would invite you to do. I've lived on both sides of the coin, the high achiever, no desire to relax, not thinking I needed to or receive or, you know, honestly, taking a day off would stress me out, let alone just being like, oh, I'm not available for 4 days. And I would say peek through the fear of losing it all, because you will, but in the best ways. You'll lose the hyper-independence, you'll lose the struggle, you'll lose the being victim to your own success. You'll sort of lose that part of you that keeps achieving for the sake of achieving but never really arrives in peace or fulfillment or the capacity to just be. And that's actually what you're chasing. I was the same. A $60 million business wasn't enough. Because nothing was ever going to satiate the desire for more, because I wasn't actually happy with myself. And that was the undertone of every decision that I was making.
Yes, when we meet ourselves, we are met, and there we are filled, and there the not enoughness is no more. So to the audience, you know, this conversation was purposefully very deep and emotional, and I invite you to be very present to what you were feeling, because discomfort triggers sometimes resistance, sometimes kind of like repulsion or any kind of like immediate deflection, right, is really something so much deeper. And so if you felt any level of discomfort or kind of even denial, like, oh, that, no, that this does not apply to me. This is just not who I am. I recommend coming back around, opening your mind, being in a state of curiosity and listening again, because I've definitely learned from denial. And it's a very, very powerful, powerful force within us. What you deny, you cannot see. You place it out of your awareness completely. And yet there is something there for you. So if you're feeling something during this conversation, there's something there for you. And it is the glorious exploration of these sensations and these emotions and these thoughts that really bring us to this place that Leslie was explaining, where she is in this deep communion with this man. And she cultivated that because of her willingness to step into the discomfort, right? To be willing to hold it, to feel it, to see herself as all that she was and love herself as all that she was, to meet herself and therefore no longer feel that not enoughness. So thank you so much to the audience for being here for our very first exploration of the Pleasure Channel. I really, really enjoyed it. And I will see you next time. I love you all so very much.
Thank you for being a part of Wealth Embodied. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your innate abundance and living your life wealthy and aligned. If you want to be invited to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.